We are bombarded by opinions these days as they blare out from the editorial pages and cable news. But Delmarva Public Radio essayist George Merrill asks, do we really have to know anything to have them?
If we have nothing else in life, we have opinions, hundreds if not thousands of them. Newspapers and magazines love opinions. Politics are the mother's milk of opinions. Not all opinions, however, are informed. Of the many blessings of American democracy, one is that we are not expected to actually know anything about the opinions we express, and particularly the issues where politics and religion are concerned. Has not folk wisdom warned us regularly not to discuss religion or politics in polite society? It has always been regarded as perilous terrain. Abandon hope, all ye who enter here. Years ago, I remember a couple came to my office seeking help for their marriage. Their complaint? All we can talk about anymore is religion and politics. Although I remained cautiously hopeful, their complaint did not suggest an encouraging prognosis for a happy reconciliation. I have been writing essays since 2002. I have written op-ed pieces with righteous anger, only later to cringe when some new data appeared, which made it clear to me they had only a minimal grasp of the complexities expressed in my rant. I'd gone off half-cocked. I've noticed in expressing opinions there are words in the music. When trying to disabuse someone else of their opinions, or if they are challenging ours, the tone, like the drumbeats of an approaching army, grow louder and more insistent. Not long ago, among the letters of the editors to the Star Democrat, there appeared a heated exchange of opinions on whether trickle-down economics works. For a few days, the letters shot back and forth as each delivered his opinion with the measured authority and profound conviction of truth. One letter explained that the policy was a success during the Reagan era, while marshaling facts and figures to prove it. Another opinion piece quoted facts and figures that demonstrated how it had clearly not succeeded. Who knows the truth of the matter? We are so often left only with opinions, some interesting and some tedious, each defended fiercely, eloquently documented, and at the end of the day, we're no really the wiser for it. It's both a blessing and a curse in how differently we can see the same things. Opinions should have an element of flexibility and tentativeness and never be doggedly clung to as if they were eternal. Change, although resisted, still remains at the heart of all existence. There's a tale about a student who approaches his meditation teacher and says, "My meditation is horrible. I feel distracted. I can't focus. I'm constantly falling asleep. It's just horrible." "It will pass," the teacher says. A week later, the student comes back to his teacher. "My meditation is wonderful. I feel so aware, so focused, so peaceful." "It will pass," the teacher replies. Time and experience are supposed to change our opinions, and if not, at least modify them. Chronic stridency suggests a kind of psycho-spiritual paralysis, or worse still, that rigor mortis has finally set in. American poet James Russell Lowell said of such intransigent folk, "The foolish and the dead alone never change their opinions." It's really okay to change our minds. George Merrill on the Shore.